Yo, what's going on, everybody? It's your boys Damian Parson and Keith Sanchez. As always, welcome back to another episode of the Talent Factor Podcast. Keith, brother, what's going on, man?
Man, I'm usually in a good mood, you know that, right? But I'm in an extremely good mood this time around because it's the start of college football, baby. We finally got the first couple practices under our belt, and you know, it's our time of year. It's our time to shine. So I'm excited about this moving forward. And you know, Damian, I was sitting back, right, watching, and you know, kind of getting a feel for everything. And I thought of last season, right? Mm-hmm. We had some really good football teams, and then we had the offseason, and it kind of created some controversy with some of these teams. So I said, how about we do this, right? Let's buy or sell, and this is between us, right? Let's choose teams and buy or sell if we're gonna put them in a conference championship in the next 2 years. So the status of these programs, we're going to project them moving forward because all of them has some type of controversy, whether that's coaching hires, whether that's players transferring, whether that's them just being in the news or them not being traditional powers. So I think it'll be an interesting conversation, especially for our fans, just to kind of give it a two-year outlook because that's usually what it takes, right, to kind of determine, you know, where a program stands. So I was like, you know what, let's do something fun, Damian. Let's kick it off right this time around. So let's do a little buy or sell. And let's start with Michigan State. With Michigan State. So I'm gonna kick it to you. I want to see what you have to say about the Spartans up there.
The Spartans were basically kind of a – not even kind of. They were a surprise team this year, right? You know, you have Peyton Thorne at quarterback who's not a world beater. He's solid. He's serviceable. He can get the job done. But it was the star, the unforeseen star at running back, Kenneth Walker, that really led that team. Defensively, they were solid. They weren't, you know, a stout defense, especially being in the Big Ten where you have some – either you have powerhouse or powerful type of offensive philosophies like Wisconsin and Iowa who they're not going to throw the ball 40 times, but they're going to run the ball 40 times with their 220-pound running back, or in Wisconsin's case, 245-pound running back that they get dot in the eye. So watching – them kind of not just take college football by storm in a way. You know, Kenneth Walker for most of the season was a Heisman candidate, right?
Yeah,
they,
as a running back.
They beat Michigan. You know, they beat Michigan, man. And that was the thing for me, watching that game and just watching how influential Walker was. And everybody thought he was a one-year wonder. You go back to Wake Forest, no, you see the same exact traits. This kid's the real deal. And Mel Tucker, man, just showcased why he deserved his extension, why he deserved to be paid as a head coach, leading these young kids, getting them to, you know, because at the end of the day, you know, the same way I know, the coach's job is not just to go on the whiteboard and scheme things up, it's to galvanize and lead his team. Have those guys confident and believing in themselves that they can go out there and play with the best of the best of the best. And they showcased that for the most part this season. I believe it was they lost to Ohio State, if I'm not mistaken. I think that was
that
game.
That one got pretty bad pretty quick.
Yeah. And Ohio State came in with the mindset, like, hey, we got one man to stop. Like, we got to stop Kenneth Walker, the third. If we can stop him, put the ball in Peyton Thorne's hands, and then we're good because we know that we can score on their defense. But they were a surprise team. They were a lot of fun to watch. Mel Tucker, great coach. And in the next two years, man, Peyton Thorne, to me, is kind of the thing. You know, the quarterback position, you know the same way I know. At the end of the day, quarterback is important. So if you don't really – unless you have – it's different. You think about the old kind of – the I would say the early 2000 not Ravens, early 2000 Bama teams where they had Greg McElroy and, you know, but they had elite offensive line play, elite running back play, great receivers, top-tier defense. Say, hey, just be a game manager. You don't have to do everything. Right, Michigan State doesn't have that, right? So they need a quarterback that can make plays and create. Kenneth Walker's gone. It's going to be interesting to see how spring practices kind of roll, how we roll through spring practices and head into the actual spring game for Michigan State, Keith, to see where they are in the quarterback room and the running back room.
Yeah, no, I agree with everything you just said. And when I guess when I analyze the Michigan State program, and to put it in context, like we said, in 2 years, will they have opportunity to be in a conference championship game? And I said yes, and that's because I think they're building it the right way. Like you went straight to the Michigan game, right? And Michigan is known, and traditionally, right? Traditionally in the Big Ten, they're known for being a pretty tough team. And Michigan State took it to them this year. And it wasn't, key plays. It wasn't a masterful mind drawing up football plays. It was just punching them in the mouth every play. And so I know next year that Michigan State is not going to be afraid of them again. They're going to come in there and they're going to take it to them again. So I think they're going to battle with Michigan. And then now the situation is, okay, can you beat Ohio State? Can you find a way to beat Ohio State? And I thought of Ohio State as a program. And traditionally, they'll lose one game. It's one game that they'll slip up on every single year, right? They'll lose to a team that they aren't supposed to lose to. And so I'm like, can Michigan State be that team? And I think they can. I think they can because, like I said, recruiting wise, I think they'll just continue to get better. They brought in a pass run specialist, BT Jordan, who has a bevy of NFL guys that he's trained. So you know that this guy is he's very experienced and he knows exactly what he's doing. So I think he'll get Michigan State better up front in the trenches, and that's a big part of this. And then also, I thought about you, man, when I was going through this because I know you always talk about one thing, right? You was like, man, what if a Big Ten program got one of those quarterbacks, right? And then I thought about Mel Tucker, and I'm like, is there any Big Ten coach that I would trust outside of Mel Tucker to bring in one of those top tier quarterbacks? And in the land of the transfer portal and everybody transferring, I can very well see Mel Tucker coming there and, kind of get a kid from one of these top programs. So now you have one of those top quarterbacks at Michigan State, and you have that tough, gritty mentality. And I think all of it combined together, like I said, I'm buying this. I'm buying that they can end up in a conference championship game in 2 years.
I like it. I like it a lot. And for me, it's I'm looking at their 2022 recruiting class, right? Via one.com, who does a lot of the college rankings and everything for teams and recruiting classes. Right now they're ranked 25th. They have 6 4 stars coming in, 17 3-star recruits coming in. And like I said, that you make a great point. Thinking about Mel Tucker as a coach. And the leader he is, the man that he is, if one of these big name, just dual threat, athletic, whatever, physically gifted kids, 4 or 5 star, hits the transfer portal, it's like, okay, I'm looking at a team, and Mel Tucker comes calling, you're gonna give him that, you're gonna give him the room, you go, hey, come on to the crib, let's talk, let's have a discussion, because he's
He's one of
proven that.
those. Yeah, he's one of those coaches that have that cachet to, like you said, when they call, everybody's going to answer the phone. And he has that amongst college football, period. So now I agree with your point.
And like I said, that wasn't even something I'd even thought about. I was like, man, you made a great
I thought
point.
That would have been right up your alley.
I didn't even think about it. Like I was, because me, I'm always looking like, man, we get some of these big time QBs in some of these other conferences, man, I'll be big. But that's the main thing is I want to see where I look at it, like I said, 25th in recruiting right now, but I can't. I want to see how it evolves and how they develop, in terms of recruiting going down the line, because that's going to be one of the biggest parts is working the transfer portal, technically free agency for college football, and then bringing in those recruits, man, to continue to build this team up to not just punch Michigan in the mouth, your in-state rival, but then go over to the big to the big team, right? Ohio State, and start swinging, back and forth, giving haymakers to them, to where they know, hey, it's not sweet walking into this game no more, man. It's
Yeah,
not sweet,
not
you
for
know what I mean?
sure.
So that's what I'm looking forward to. I'm going to say,
Uh-oh, here we go. Here we go. Let's see. Let's see.
I believe in Mel Tucker. So
Okay,
I'm
all
gonna say
right.
bye. I'm gonna say bye
All
here.
right, that's
Or
a buy.
as this is our the college football podcast, we can say commit, decommit, whatever. But I'm gonna say I'm with you. I'm trusting Mel Tucker, man, because I really like him as a coach.
In Mel, we trust. In Mel, we
And
trust.
Mel, we trust, baby.
All
so
right, so
next,
let's
yeah, go ahead.
you I was gonna say, let's take it to, I had another team in mind, right? This one had a little bit more controversy over the offseason, some stuff surrounding the head coach and everything that I guess we'll talk about and get too much into the details, but I think it's worth noting because they're always a SEC West, you know, they're formidable out there, and that's the Auburn Tigers. And I wanted to see how you felt about them because they're in a pretty tough division, right? Like you always have Alabama, Texas A&M is on the rise, and you always have LSU and, you know, they're in a rebuilding type situation. But, you know, last year that was a close game. And then so I'm expecting it to be close regardless. So I want to see, what do you think about those Auburn Tigers?
Man, Auburn, like that's a team. They right now, you know, they're ranking 18th in terms of recruiting right now. Eight four-star, 10 three-star recruits coming in. And they have one of the best running backs in college football, Tank Bigsby. Unfortunately, he's not going to be there for the next year. He's going to, you know, this most likely will be his last year. He's going to go to the NFL and everything like that, which we've talked about, you know, at the beginning of this podcast when we kicked it off. But looking at what they have now, they have a talented group, especially offensively, right? And, you know, right now they're kind of going through trying to figure out who's QB1. They lost Bo Nix to Oregon. So, you know, they, you know, looking at their quarterbacks right now, it's reading the reports from practice, their first spring practice, it was TJ Findlay, the big, kind of big body, big frame, big arm kid who has mobility. He was taking the first team reps with Tank Bigsby in the backfield. And you had Demetrius Davis, taking second reps. And then they have an Oregon transfer, Robbie Ashford, who was behind those guys as well. So they have some depth there. They lost Zach Calzada. I'm just looking forward to seeing. And then they lost as well some key pieces defensively, losing Roger McCreary, Smoke Monday. I'm looking forward to see how they kind of replenish that, right? Especially on defense. Because to tell you the truth, Keith, and you know firsthand, they've never been known consistently as a great offensive program, right? You had the Cam Newton year. You had the Nick Marshall year as well, where he, you know, kind of, you know, he took the SEC by storm as well with that read option, the RPO game, and his athleticism. But they, for the most part, they've really been more of a defensive program. So if they can continue to build with that, and I'm going to let you kind of talk about the head coach situation, and then I'll give my vote on how I view them and do I believe, am I going to say yes, you know, am I going to commit to them in the next 2 years? But offensively, I think they have some pieces. To me, it's defensively, and then I'm kind of weary of the coach, of the coaching situation, rather.
Yeah, so I'm going to start with the coaching situation and not even just the details of it, right, because that kind of is what it is, but more so what does that do for providing stability within the program, you know, and just like we hear it, players have cell phones, so they have Twitter, they have Instagram, they have, you know, whatever, TikTok, so they see it everywhere, right? So when a coach walks into the locker room, they know all of your business, right? So it's hard to hold a team to a certain standard as the head coach when you haven't necessarily been living up to that standard too. That's extremely difficult, right? Some people would call that hypocritical in a sense. So for the Auburn program, I'm not sure how the head coach is going to be able to really galvanize that locker room again. And look, you're in a tough conference, you're in a tough division. So there are going to be peaks and valleys, right? But how do you stabilize that program? How, if your team loses by 15, 20 points, what do you tell them as a man from an integrity standpoint to get them to come back to practice the next week and then, you know, fight just as hard? So, man, it's really tough. And then another thing I would say is when you talked about traditionally what Auburn was, they have Brian Harsin now, who's, you know, he comes from Boise State. He's that kind of spread, wide open, throw the ball, you know, around the field, which is okay. But I think last year you seen that they didn't necessarily have the personnel for that, right? Like we talked about Tank Bigsby. We talked about them having an offensive line, running backs. And traditionally, they usually don't have dynamic receivers also. So it's like, who are we throwing the football to, right? You're taking the football out of your best player hands and Tank Bigsby, and you're throwing it to receivers who are not, I would say, not elite for SEC, you know, talent. They may have one or two every year, but that's about it guys that you feel like, okay, this guy can play at a high level. So, man, I'm it's more so the it seems as though it's a mismatch right now as far as offensive philosophy and just what's on the roster. And then, like I said, man, just the head coach being able to galvanize those guys, it seemed like it's going to be a pretty tough battle. So if you tell me with all of those things combined, especially with them being in the SEC West also, I have to sell this, man. I have to sell this. I don't foresee them being in the SEC championship within the next 2 years just because of the things that I listed just previously.
Yeah, I'm out too, man. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, look how damn you threw that in there. Like, yeah, man, I'm out of there.
I'm out of there, man. You know what I mean? Let's go ahead. You know, I've already got the for sale sign set up. Like, we're putting that in the front yard. This house is for sale. I am not buying Auburn in the SEC championship. First, like I said, first of all, tough conference, tough division. That's already a given. You know, that's legit a war zone. You know what I mean? Having to play the teams that they face, Bama, LSU, you know, and like I said, I do like, you know, the potential with TJ Finley and see what he can do. You know, LSU transfer, you know, big 6'7", 250-pound big arm kid. Like, you know, you don't really see too many guys built like him, you know, and having Tanks Bigsby in the backfield will definitely help this year. And then they got, you know, don't get me wrong, they have another running back. You know me, I'm always on top of the running backs, man. It's just what I do. You know, it's just what I do, baby. But, you know, they have another running back as well. They have a couple, actually. So I think from the running game standpoint, they're going to be solid. And they're going to still going to be a good running team. Jarquez Hunter, who's the backup to Tank Bigsby. But it's like I said, the head coach situation and just trying to – the main thing is get the talent to truly not just compete and keep those LSU, Bama games and Florida games and whatever games competitive to like halftime and then like, you know, everything goes – down the drain after the half, but keeping it competitive all four quarters, close out in those close games like they could have closed out on Bama, but they let, you know, Bama got back in. Bryce Young was clutch. He's a Heisman. Yeah. So, yeah, no, I'm selling. I wish that I could buy because I do like some of that pieces, man. But, man, that for sale sign is sitting pretty right in the front yard. Somebody else can buy that house, man, because I am out.
I'm with you, man. I'm with you. The real estate market is booming right now anyway, so you should have somebody
exactly. It's buy too that many, property. There's too many other things out there, too many other properties. They have a lot more to offer.
All right, so look, next I want to stay in the SEC. I'm going to stay in the SEC, but we're going to take it a little bit further south. We're going to go to Gainesville, to the University of Florida. They just hired, in the offseason, they hired head coach Billy Napier, who was at University of Louisiana Lafayette, so I was extremely close to him, 45 minutes away, seeing this guy operate in person. And, you know, he's taken over a Florida program. He brought ULL to really good prominence. I believe they beat a Power 5 school year before last, so the 2020 season, and then this past season, I want to say they finished in the top 25 too. So the guy showed that he can turn around programs. So I thought that this was an interesting hire, just Billy Napier. Overall, this is a guy that was part of the Alabama coaching staff, and then I believe he left, went to Arizona State, served as a co-offensive coordinator, I believe, wide receiver coach, and then he made his way to ULL. And then, like I said, man, he took that program, and it was pretty cool because most of Alabama's assistant coaches, they usually go straight from Alabama to taking a head coaching position, right? And they may hinder you sometimes. Just being in a structured program like Alabama, but he was able to go to Arizona State, kind of take what he learned from Alabama and then evolve as a coach at Arizona State and then come to ULL and become the head coach. And I think he did a really good job in all aspects at ULL. Now, him going to Florida, I expect some of the same. Honestly, I think it's a top-tier program. They're traditionally a very good program. They usually can get really good athletes. They're in a top state. Florida is always top three as far as how many blue-chip high school prospects they can put out. So, man, I expect him to recruit really well. I looked at the staff that he hired, and he did a really good job of mixing Southeast coaches along with coaches that specialize in recruiting in Florida. So I think that's a key component, and man, I'm buying into what he can possibly do over there. Now we know they have the national champions in their division, right? They have Georgia Bulldogs who, man, we've been watching their front seven, and that's what Kirby Smart did with their front seven is all-time spectacular. Like, that's crazy that he was able to assemble that. So they have an uphill battle as far as beating Georgia, but I would say this, the rest of the SEC East is down, right? Do we really trust Tennessee? How is Kentucky? Vanderbilt, obviously, we know how that goes. So they just have to build this thing in the next 2 years to beat Georgia one time. And I believe that Billy Napier can figure it out and get the job done. So with Florida being in an SEC championship in 2 years, I'm buying that.
You know what, Keith? You know, go ahead and give me the paperwork, baby, because I'm signing too. I'm buying, man. I'm gonna tell you why I'm buying. I'm gonna tell you why I'm investing in this property and this real estate. Talent has never been a factor for Florida, right? Like,
yeah.
They're always able to recruit well. They're always able to have talent, and one of the brightest potential stars on their team right now is redshirt sophomore Anthony Richardson at quarterback. Big, athletic, good arm strength and arm talent, can make a lot of different throws from different angles. And like I said, he's an athlete. He gives you something in the run game and the RPO and read option game. They have, you know, good running backs as we saw in Mobile with Damian Pierce. It was just more so a coaching issue, right? They didn't everybody's watching him perform the way he performed in Mobile, and then people are looking like, what was going on at Florida? Like, they did not give this man the ball.
And we had to ask him, like, man, why didn't he give you the football? Like, it was almost perplexing, right? You were trying to figure it out. Like, why didn't you get the football?
Exactly. So, like, they have a good offensive line. Then you look, especially for this year. I think this year, granted, you know, first time with the coach, but I really like their chances this year to potentially knock off Georgia. And I'm going to tell you why. Defensively, you're bringing back Britton Cox Jr., redshirt senior at the Buck linebacker defensive end spot. You know, you have your basically the quarterback of your second level, Ventrell Miller at linebacker. They have pieces in the secondary that are young but talented to grow. And then offensively, like I said, I like the young kid, Naquan Wright, redshirt junior at the running back position, kind of do-it-all, change-of-pace type of guy. He's kind of a jitterbug. And they have some good pieces on the offensive line as well. They're going to be replacing Stuart Reese, who is a guard. He's a transfer from, I think it was Mississippi State, if I'm not mistaken. And then you had John D. Lance, who was at the Shrine Bowl. Who's also in this draft. So those are two spots they're going to have to develop this offseason. But, Keith, I believe in Billy Napier, his resume, what he's been able to do. And then you put a good coach with good talent. With good talent, you can get – you have good results, man. So I'm buying in. I really believe that they have, especially this year, I think they have a chance to kind of – because at the end of the day, Georgia is the national champions, right? They lost a lot of talent defensively, especially in that front seven. They lost all three linebackers. You know, you lose, I think, Adam Anderson, who had the whole kind of sexual assault case going on. I think supposedly I read that he was supposed to be entering the draft. I didn't really keep up with him after that whole thing because I'm just like, I'm not going to touch it. But you have, you lose all three linebackers. You lose Jordan Davis, Devontae Wyatt, Lewis Seen. The Darian Kendrick, it's like that's a lot of talent from a great, like a legit elite defense. How, you know, granted it's the SEC and it's Georgia, but can those, like we talked about, young kids step up and replace those type of players in their first experience in a full season? Hey, if there's any chance for Florida to knock off Georgia and take that conference or take that division and get to the SEC, I think it's this year, Keith.
No, I agree. And you forgot that they still have Stetson Bennett at quarterback too. So
I didn't want to, you know, make Georgia fans any more down on the situation. I was like, you know, I'm not going to bring Stetson up. But yes, you still have the mailman Stetson Bennett at quarterback, and it's like, yeah, you know, hey, you lost one, you lost your top receiver because of it. So again, another loss, right? Hey, listen, man. Yep. And you lost, what, two running backs too? You lost Zamir White and James Cook. This is, hey, Bill Napier, Mount up, baby. Let's go. Let's get that gator chomp going, man. I'm buying something in Gatorland, baby.
Okay. So, look, we just spent some time in the SEC. We went back-to-back SEC schools, right? But we got to show our West Coast listeners some love. So we picked this school because, you know, it like I said, had a little bit of controversy around it, and they were primed to do really good things. So next school we're going to talk about is Arizona State. And the reason I picked this school is, like, because, like I said, they had Herm Edwards there. He was doing some really good things in recruiting. They were bringing in really good talent. They were beating USC for some California kids, and they were in prime position to kind of take over the Pac-12 South and, you know, really dominate. They were doing really good, and obviously they had some recruiting violations and things kind of went haywire, but I would say some of that talent is still there. And then I want to, you know, with those type of programs, you always wonder, can they rally the troops, right? Can Herm Edwards pull something out of the bag to where it's like, you know what? I can pull something from an old NFL locker room and get these young kids inspired and get them going to wanting to play hard. And then, like we talked about, the Pac-12, that conference is up for grabs every single year, right? Every single year, you have no idea who's coming out of there. Utah might be the most consistent team of the past 10 years, but it's not necessarily a dominant team. They're just the most consistent as far as how they approach football games. So, you know, I looked at Arizona State in whole, and as much as I wanted to buy, I couldn't. I got to sell on them being in a conference championship in the next 2 years, just because, man, it's tough to rebound what they're trying to rebound from. Like I said, I want to have that faith how we had in Mel we trust. I kind of wanted to have in Herm we trust. But, and that's a lot to overcome. You know, we're talking about some young kids. And like I said, the Pac-12 is up for grabs every year. They lost a good bit of their coaching staff. So it was definitely difficult for me to buy on this.
Yeah, I love Herm, man. Love coach, you know. One of the famous sayings, don't press in. Don't press in. You know, and I love Herm, but I definitely am not buying either, just because it's a lot of turnover in the coaching staff. You lose Jaden Daniels in the way, and for the reason which we talked about. Hey, if you haven't checked it out, check the archives. Last episode, we talked about that. The reason why he left and the hole he left at quarterback. I know that there's talks that maybe JT Daniels looks at them as a potential spot to transfer to at some point this offseason. That was the talks. But right now is a lot of young talent, you know, replacing Rashad White, his backup. I cannot remember the young man's name, but he transferred to Ohio State to go from running back to linebacker, which is crazy. So you lose your top two. I really can't pronounce his name, but you lose your top two runners, one to the NFL, one to a Big Ten team to play the opposite side of the football. So, you know, you got to get a new, you know, Daniel Ngata at running back. You got Jalen Conyers at tight end, Ricky Purcell at receiver, along with Elijah Badger and Brian Thompson. I'm just, you know, kind of going over some of the young talent they have. But it's just a lot. It's a lot to overcome. And especially for young kids who are kind of just really getting their feet wet in college football. Just this spring is just really for them to get that camaraderie, that chemistry down pack heading into this season. But I'm worried if Herm will be given enough time, you know what I mean, after everything has gone on to continue with his tenure there. I don't know, you know. So I'm selling, man. You know, I got to sell Arizona State. And then at the same time, the question at quarterback. You know, you lose Jaden Daniels. Yeah. We don't really know who's going to be that guy, and can he come in into a locker room, which we saw the video when the players was in the locker room, and they were kind of like, it seemed like they were happy he was gone almost.
It was really weird.
So it's like, you know, can this quarterback come in and I guess be the leader and the leader for this team that they view they didn't have in Jaden? So it's just too many questions, too many ifs and too many ums and what's this and what's that. Like, nope, you know what? I got to sell.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. So we both selling on that one. All right, so here comes up our fifth team. This is our last team, right? We did the SEC, we did the Pac-12, we did the Big Ten. Now we got to take it to the Big 12, right? And this team, traditionally, this wouldn't even be a question because of, you know, how they are, how they approach the game, and just their dominance in the past over this conference. So we're going to talk about the Oklahoma Sooners and if we're buying or selling that they'll be in a conference championship game in 2 years or less, right? So they have 2 years to make it there. Man, this one's tough. This one's tough is because everything about this hiring was a change of philosophy. Right. They go from the offensive mind and Lincoln Riley to the defensive mind and Brent Venables. And we all know Brent Venables has churned out some really good defenses, good defensive lines, good defensive schemes. And I want to know what's his approach. Right. Like, is he going to just try to make it just a little bit better and then we're still going to stay as an offensive team? Or is he going to try to turn this thing around and finally have some defense play in the Big 12? So that's kind of where I'm, you know, going back and forth with this. But I look at the positives, right? Positives, right? They still have offensive weapons. Like we said, this is the Big 12, so everything is wide open as far as offensively. And it's just a matter of them getting a quarterback in there that can throw the football. And, you know, they'll be at least competitive in every game. Like it seems like every year is all, like, it's a big cluster of teams that's competitive because they can score 35 points in the Big 12, right? And it is always a race between TCU, Oklahoma State, Oklahoma, those teams right. like that, and Iowa State, you know, and they always just battle back and forth. But I'm going to say this. I think Oklahoma may take a step down a little bit, just trying to reinvent themselves. I think last year was the beginning of a decline, and that may be why they went with Brent Venables to reinvent themselves. But we all know whenever you're reinventing yourself, it takes some time to get where you want to go. So just with the Oklahoma program, I'm going to actually sell on this. I'm going to sell on this because I think some of those other programs may stay consistent. And Oklahoma, like I said, they're going to have to reinvent themselves, find quarterback play. Lincoln Riley won't be there to be the quarterback guru. And they've lost some other key offensive guys. So I'm going to sell on this and expecting Oklahoma to take a couple years to get back to it.
Keith, this is where we part ways, man. I am rocking with Brent Venable. I'm gonna tell you why, man. I'm buying Oklahoma, and it was for a lot of the turnover with the whole Lincoln Riley. Just kind of, you know, for us that are not in the building, just right. jumping ship and going to USC, which we saw his $17 million home in LA that has seven fireplaces in LA. We kind of understand part of the reason why he went to LA. So we kind of understand how they kind of, you know, where that thought process kind of came from for him. But, you know, looking at, you know, they did lose some recruits, man, and guys that went over, you know, Caleb, went over with him and I think Mario Williams, the young freshman receiver, he went as well. But I'm going to tell you one thing that I really was happy to see was Marvin Mims and Theo Weiss, those veterans in the receiver room staying put and not jumping ship. I do, and you know, they have Eric Gray, who's an elusive, you know, between yeah. tackles and outside runner, especially in the inside zone game. Dylan Gabriel is a lefty gunslinger from UCF who can throw the rock. He'll spread the ball around. There's not a window that he does not believe he can fit the ball through. So I think that he's going to keep them afloat for this year. He's a redshirt junior. And to be honest with you, at the same time, he does have the 2-year eligibility, redshirt junior, redshirt senior. If he wanted to stay one more year and continue with this program, so he gives them a potential. He kind of sticks with that 2-year window. If not, they have the freshman Nick Evers, who will step in more than likely in 2023. But I like the team. Offensive line is solid. They should be starting a new left guard after losing Marquise Hayes, and I think a new left tackle as well. But, you know, defensively, they have some guys. They have a transfer from North Carolina, Trey Morrison. I talked about him in the offseason or in the preseason. He reminded me a little bit of Honey Badger a little bit, you know, just kind of undersized.
Okay. We got to talk about this. I got to watch him.
he gives me kind of those type of vibes. Smaller, kind of versatile DB. He can play the nickel. He's played some outside. You'll see him lined up. You know, for North Carolina, you see him lined up kind of in the overhang, and then he plays safety. They have him listed right now on the unofficial depth chart as a free safety. So I'm excited. He let me know. He's like, man, I'm transferring. He let me know before anybody else really knew. And I was like, all right, I'm you know, just let me know what's up. So they got DJ Graham at corner. Defensively, I think Brent Venable is going to be able to do some things with these kids and have them much more prepared. And just in the Big 12, you know, it's going to be competitive mainly between Oklahoma State, Baylor, and then Texas. Texas is the one that is going to rise, in our opinion, right? We love what they've done this offseason. But I still think Oklahoma is going to be there. I think Oklahoma is going to knock off Oklahoma State, you know, in the in-state rivalry, man. I'm banking on Oklahoma. I think Brent Venables, Dylan Gabriel, and the veterans they still have on that roster will, because like I said, to overcome with a bunch of young guys is difficult. But to overcome with guys that say, you know what, we're going to put 10 toes down, we're going to stay home, and we're going to make it happen and get it done, I'm trusting that, man. I love to see those veterans stay home.
Okay, we might have to get a little bet going there. I mean, it'll be a year or two before it pay off, but we definitely have to get a bet going, because I didn't even mention Texas and Baylor, just where they are, you know, as programs too. Uh-huh. So that thing is going to be tough, and then just how the Big 12 is structured as far as everybody plays everybody. So you don't get to skip an opponent. So if a team rises, you know, to the occasion, they start to elevate themselves, you still have to play them, right? Like, you can't say, like, how it is in the SEC and the Big Ten, well, hey, at least they're not in our division, you know.
Right.
You have to play them. So, man, I think it's going to be it's gonna be really interesting. I thought this was pretty good, man, going over these programs. And, you know, we got a couple more weeks to go with spring practice. So I'm excited. Yeah, it's our time to shine, baby. It's our time to shine. Oh, yeah.
It's time. It's time for the takeover, baby. So I'm all ready for it. You know, we talked about all different conferences and talked a little bit of real estate with the buy and sell and everything. So it was a lot of fun. But guys, as always, we thank you so much for the support, the love, the reviews, so much just, you know, attention to this podcast. Continue to grow, continue to support us. Go on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, like, subscribe, share, tell a friend, tell a friend to tell a friend that you know about the Great College Football Podcast, as we have so much more content coming down the line. But as always, I'm Damian Parson. That's Keith Sanchez. This is the Talent Factor Podcast.
And remember, talent is always the factor.